Here on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, about I would say halfway, a little bit more than halfway through the Amud, and we'll start with Amar of Yehuda. Avolo es hapoyes. So we're talking about tiltul of avonim on Shabbos for the purpose of kinuach, and Rabbi Yehuda tells me he cannot take a payas, or payas. My payas, Omer Abzera, Karshine Bivav Loyasa, pebbles of the Babylonian ground, Gushe Afar, Shebe Bovel, and these are pieces or clumps of earth that crumble, Hamis Porim, and therefore they're not fit for use after using the bathroom, and therefore they're mukta, also litaltum, and they have the regular din of an evan. Rashi says that the reason why this question comes up in general is because efshel kanech b'em al yideh tchak. You know, if need be, you would be able to function and use them for kinuach, to wipe yourself. Amar Rava, also Mishamesh is a reference to what's called the pi harei, the rectal opening, the anal opening. Bitzror b'shabes kedershem mashmesh b'chol. What you normally would do during the week to manipulate this opening and clean it out is prohibited on Shabbos, because you inevitably remove hairs. And that comes on the Melechas Gozes. So Rashi asks the question, Af Pishenim is Kaven, even though the hairs might come out, but he's not at all interested in removing these hairs that grow in the rectal, around the rectal opening, but nevertheless, and he says, therefore, Rava is going to allow this, and that's Rava and Beitza, but he says, this is a case of Psikresha. He will definitely remove some of the hairs. And Rava would agree in this case that it's Asur. And here we want to take a look at Tosti Ramaskal Asur. Rabbeinu Chananel says that the Isur is Lemashvesh Biyodo Beregev Avonim Koshe Kidei Lachliko Yishum Shevakach Yovelide Ketisha Otchina. So according to the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, the Isur here that we're involved with is not, as we said earlier, the Iser of Gozes, but rather the Iser of Tochen, because apparently the earth is very tough, very hard, and when he smooths it out, he kind of grinds it. And he has a third Shita in the Rishonim, that the Iser is because Nirekim Esaken Kli, it comes under Makav Patish, when he makes this kind of earth usable for kinuach. Maskifla Mar Zutra. Mar Zutra raised an objection to Rava Listaken. What exactly do you want him to do? If he's not going to be able to use these pieces, clumps of earth in order to clean himself, he's not going to eliminate. He's not going to go to the bathroom. And that certainly is a sakana. And the Gemara tells in Brachos that the person should repeatedly defecate, otherwise he might get something called Hadrokin, which is a very dangerous disease. Hamasha Nekovav, the Gemara says, is maybe Atzmali Decholi Hadrokon. And the Gemara answers that Rava never meant to say that he shouldn't use it at all. He meant to say that he shouldn't use it the way he used it during the week. He's allowed to use it, but kilachar yad. Kigon, what is kilachar yad in an unusual way? And he says, kigon sha'ochez es hatzra b'shtei etzpa'osa v'lo b'chol yado. So he doesn't take it into his hand, but he holds it between his two fingers, and that's Rashi. Im osa kalachayad eno vaday sheyashir sa'orosav. Now this interpretation, which is offered by the Sfasemis, but it's also the Ramban in a different form, is that if he holds it between his two fingers, then we're not actually sure that he'll remove the hairs. So that would mean it's a Dover Sheni Miskaven. Alternatively, you could say that if he holds it with his two hands, that's called Kelachar Yad, which is normally also in Rabbanon, but they would matter it because of a possible Pikuach Nefesh if he doesn't go to the bathroom. Omar Avyanai, Im Yesh Makom Kavul Beis HaKise, if you have a set place where you go to the bathroom, then Mutal Litol Kama Avonos Avonim Shenichnosos Bimlo Yad, you'll have to just grab a handful of stones, even though you won't need all of them. But Yishamshu Hein Likinuach B'Meshach HaShabbos, it could be that he'll have to eliminate many times during the course of Shabbos, and he'll have a spare amount of a repertoire, if you want to call it, of Avnei Kinuach. V'im Lav, but if this bathroom, this bathhouse for eliminating is not Kavua, it's not something that's set in its place, then you're allowed to take one stone, Evan Achas, Kehechra, or Kehechrea. So let's just summarize. If you're talking about a place where you have a set aside base Hakise, then he's allowed to take a handful of stones. And the reason why Rav Yanai allows that is because he may need it for a second use during the course of Shabbos. And if it's not a set place for a Beis HaKise, then Bechrea. He can only use a stone which is the size of a nut. And that's Shir HaEmtzai. We have three different Shirim, if you remember the last Shir, that were mentioned sizes for these stones. There was a Kezias, there was an Egos, there was a Kebetza, and Kechrea means the middle one, and that's the size of a nut, because the nut is larger than the olive, but smaller than the egg. And that's the compromise here. Midocha is a place, Machtesh is where we, a kind of machine, or not an electric machine, but it's a utensil that's used to grind spices, is ketana. If it's a small one, shel besamim, which is used to make spices, and normally this machteshes would be considered a kli shemalato isur. You only use it for ketisha, which is prohibited on Shabbos. Is Omer Rav Sheshes with regard to this machteshe, this madocha, im yesha leha aid mutter. Now, what's an aid? An aid here he calls a roshem. In other words, some sort of roshem means some sort of vestige of kinuach. And that indicates that it is omeres lekach, that this madocha is designated for a machteshes for besamim. And then you're allowed to use it on Shabbos, kidei lekaneach ba. Kevan shi meluch leches harei omeres l'shem kinuach v'lo kidei loduch ba hashemen, besamim. So it means, this is like aid. Aid means like testimony. We need to bear testimony of the previous use. So what is this previous use? So this madocha, if it's a small one, is a stone that theoretically could be used for kinuach, for wiping after the bathroom. And if it was designated as such for wiping, then it's not muktzah. However, it might be a klisha malachto le'isur, because he might be using this stone for ketisha. And Rav Sheshi says it all depends. If there's some testimony, some vestige of the fact that this machteshes, this madocha, is no longer used as a machteshes for grinding, but it's been used in the past for kinuach, and the testimony is that there's still what we call lichluch, then that dirt, that filth, indicates that it was designated to use in the bathroom. Now, it could be that we could reinterpret this Gemara. Right now we're saying, im ein shom roshem nikar, let's say, for example, if in the past this stone was used for the bathroom, but the rainwater already cleaned it, and there's no more lichluch, then the original yichud in which we designated for kinuach is gone. We need it to be nikar. It's got to be a testimony, as we said before. Now, we're talking about a case where yesh lo sham cheres me'agone kelim l'kaneach bo. In other words, he has some sort of a cheres, some sort of a piece, a shard of pottery. Because otherwise, if he doesn't have that, then we have the issue that we mentioned before about health. You know, we've got to get him. We're going to allow him to use this madocha, even if it doesn't have those testimonies. Now, Tosus Divrei Maskil V'Im rejects this pshat, and he reinterprets the Gemara of Rav Yanai. Im yeshlo makom kavua malei hayad. If he has a set place for the bathroom, then he's allowed to bring an entire handful of stones into the bathroom. V'im lav kechrea midocha ketana shel besomim, which means klomar im ein lo makom kavua yitol even kishir regel shel maducha ketana shel besomim. In other words, read it hakera rather than hachrea. And hakera is lashon regel. So we're talking about the regel of the maducha. The regel is probably what we'd call in English a pedestal. It holds up the maducha. And he could take an even that has the same size of that leg or that pedestal on which the maducha stands. And that might be a larger size than normally what we would allow for kinuach. So even though the stone is larger than the prescribed size, you're allowed to be metaltalit on Shabbos if it shows this testimony, which means traces of having been used before. Because once you were miyached for kinuach, it's no longer muktza. Meisvei, the Gemara Sakasha on Rav Sheshes. We have a brisa that says, Asor dvarim mevim asadim lidei tachtonios. Tachtonios, what we call, what's the English word? I'm sorry, it just evades me for a split second. Hemorrhoids, that's what we call it, hemorrhoids. So the three situations that can cause hemorrhoids. Number one, Va'eluen ha'ochel alei kanim, eats the leaves of reeds. Va'alei gefanim, the leaves of grapevines. Va'lulavei gefanim, anofim gedolim sviva gefen. Right, these are the branches that grow around the vines. Umorige behema, which literally means the rigid portions of an animal. Basar behema b'mkomo she'eino chalak. In the note here, he gives a kli hasui charitzim charitzim. And that would be kagon achech ubeis hakosos, sheyesh b'hem ke'ein kotzim upegimos. That's Rashi. And we're talking about parts of the animal that are rigid and not smooth. These are not good for the for hemorrhoids. I guess it's hard to digest them. And below melach, that's if he does not add salt. So it seems like morige behema are not healthy unless he adds salt. I guess the salt will soften it. Vishidro sheldak, the spinal column of the fish, that's not something that you want to eat. Vidag moliach shelo bishel called sarko, a small fish, we'll call it herring, that was not completely cooked. Vashose shimre yayin, he drinks the sediments from the wine. And hamakanech besid, if he wipes himself with lime, ubecharsis, or a shroud of pottery, obitzor shekinach bo chavero, or if he uses a pre-used a tzrara stone, and it's still filthy, it's dry, it's not really dangerous, but he shouldn't use it. Yeshom rafatole atzmo v'beis hakise, if he stands over the hole there where he's using, she'ena yoshev shemispane, he's not sitting while he's defecating. And yeshom, yeah. Anyway, we see clearly from this brisa that something that your friend used is not royal kinuach. So let's go back to Rav Sheshes. He says that if he looks at this maducha, this stone that's normally used for grinding, and he sees a roshem, he sees that there's some testimony or vestige of someone else's kinuach, then you're allowed to carry it. It doesn't seem like the best idea in the world to use someone else's used toilet paper, so to speak, to wipe yourself with. That's not healthy, as we saw in the Asar Dvar Mevi'u Sodom Lidei Tachtonios. So where it says Lokasha, Ha Bilach Veha Biyovish. The Brisa of Machteshes is talking about of lach. No, I'm sorry, I got it the other way around. Rav Sheshes is interpreting that brisa, and Rav Sheshes is talking about a case of dry, of yovish. The brisa that indicates that there's a danger of hemorrhoids, that's a case of lach. But if it's yovish, then you could use someone else's used stone. Again, reusing a dry stone, second, a dry stone is that's the case of Rav Sheshes and Yeshala, that's not considered dangerous, and therefore it's not muktzah. But a moist stone, that's the case of the Brisa, which could cause hemorrhoids. Ebois Amos, second answer, Khan, the brisa that says it's not a good idea to use a tzra that was used by his friend, is that's mitzad echad. In other words, if you're using the same side of the stone that his friend uses, that's not a healthy proposition. But Khan, what Rav Sheshes spoke about a madocha, and it has a vestige of a previous kinuach, that's mishnei tzadim. He explains Mishnei Tzadim, Klomar Ru'uyahi Lekinuach Betzida Hasheni. In other words, the previous user only filthed, I don't know if there's a verb of the word filth, one side. So now he's allowed to use the other side. It's not unhealthy. The other side is clean and hasn't been used. Ebois Ema, the Gemara has a third explanation. Ha didei ha dechavre. Rav Sheshes is talking about the case of the Madocha where he used it in the past. And that's the Shiraim, that's the vestige of filth that he finds on it, that's the Edus. And the brisa that talks about very unhealthy is the chavri, when you're using something that was used by someone else. You can imagine how many germs you'll get from that. Yosef. The Gemara now has certain doubts about this maducha that has those that's testimony. Is Yardu Aleha Gishamim? Let's say the rainwater fell on this stone and Nishtashtishu. In other words, you no longer see clearly that that vestige of the previous use because it's been marred or it's been wet by the rainwater. So those traces of the previous use, the filth that's been smeared, it's no longer crystal clear. Mao, what's the din? Is he allowed now to use, shall I say, reuse that wiping stone? Kevin she'ein ole roshem batel ayichud shelo litzorch kinuach u'muktzehi. Ah, sorry, we're not talking about a health issue. And you could obviously clean it off, but we're talking about the muktza issue. And this stone would be muktza unless you designate it for use. Now, you designated for use for kinuach, but that's no longer visible. Amalei, Rav Yosef says, im hoya rishumo nikar ktsas, if there's still some indication of the original use, and therefore it's considered ma'usahi, meaning you wouldn't want to use it as a madocha to make spices, is therefore the original yichud, when you designate it for kinuach, is still very much alive and active, umut, and therefore there's no isa tiltul. Boy mine rabba bar Rav Shilo mi Rav, and here we turn to Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis. Maula losom achrov legak. You have stones, and you've designated these stones for kinuach, but it's going to take a real tircha if you want to go up to the roof and use it there for asiyas trochov after he eliminates himself. Or shall we say that it's prohibited because of tircha yisera? So davar poshim shemutal halos klei suda v'chadom legag. In general, for the purpose of eating, we're allowed to go through a lot of work, so to speak, a tircha, and sweat it out in order to get the kelim up to the roof. But here, we're talking about something that in and of itself is mukt, so they're only mati tiltu because of the need to use it in this situation where he wants to dedicate it for the bathroom, to wipe himself. But if it's a tircha meruba, then perhaps they would not allow muktzah. Tosus, on the other hand, explains that the suffix of this Gemara is ha'imi tiru af bofet shebeis hakise nimtzal agag ukarv lebeiso. In other words, since he should have brought up these avonim on Erev Shabbos, since the bathroom is so close to his house, perhaps we should prohibit him from schlepping all these stones up to the roof. He should have prepared them on Erev Shabbos in order to avoid the tircha gedola. Amalei, so Rav Chisda responds to Rav Bar Shilo, Godol kovet abriyo shedoches lo seshabat Torah. We have the case of a zokein she'en lefi chvodo. So this elderly statesman finds a sheep that's lost, that's roaming around, and he would have to carry it on his back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashev Teshivim and avoid the avera of Losucha L'Salem, and that would undermine his kavod, because he's an elderly guy, and maybe he's a scholar as well. He doesn't usually run around with animals on his back. And in such a case, the Torah is saying, Zokin Enel Chvichvodo, he's not included in the Lotas of Losucha L'Salem. Because Palmim Shatov Misalem. he's allowed to look the other way, and he doesn't have to embarrass himself or lower his status. Now, when we get to Tiltul Avonim, and even though the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to be metaltel a stone on Shabbos, and if a metaltel, he would go ahead and carry it, he would violate the Lav Lo Tosum and Adovash HaYegidulcha. He's undermining and contravening the authority of the Chachamim. Nevertheless, this Lav of Lo Tosur is trumped by Kovod HaBrios, just like we saw in the case of Lo Sucha L'Salim and Hashem Saveda, that the Kovod HaBrios of Ezokin Shein Lufi Fodo trumps the Iser of Lo Sucha Lo Tosum Mikol Adovah. Lo Sucha L'Salim. So too, it should trump the Lo Tosum Lo Sucha Mikol Adovah. And we should override this Lav of Lo Tosur for the sake of Kovod HaBrios. And therefore, Rav Chisda argues that we're going to allow him to take these stones up to the roof, even though he's violating Tircha Merubah, an extra effort here that he's putting out. And even though he should have prepared them on Erev Shabbos, so let him do kapara for that, but he's allowed to schlep him all the way up to the roof, despite the extra tircha, and that's because of Kovod HaBrios. Yosef Mereimar v'ka'omar la lahash maitita. So Rav Mereimar passed on this tradition, and Esvei Abai Ravina Lemaremar, Ravina raised the following objection based on a brisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, notel onam. Now we're talking about yontif kesam she lefanov lachtos bo shinov. So he wants to use a certain stick. We'll call it a splinter that comes from chips of wood, and he wants to use it as a toothpick. And we're going to allow him to do that according to Rabbi Eliezer. Racham omrim lo yitol elamin ha'evus shel behema. In other words, he's not allowed to take a splinter unless it's from wood that's lying in the crib of an animal. So let's just go over the last Shaka Vitaria from Pei Aleph Amid Aleph over to Pei Aleph Amid Beis. We had a suffix of Rabba as far as schlepping the Zavonim up to the roof. And Rav Chisda responded to Rabba's question, Godel Kovod HaBrios, that for the sake of Kovod HaBrios, we're going to allow him, just like in the case we spoke about of a Zakeh Neinu Lufi Chvodo that overrides the Lo Sucha L'Salim, so too we're going to allow overriding the Isur Tiltul, Evan B'Shabbos, and Lo Sosur for the sake of Kovod HaBrios. Yosef Mereimar V'Ka'amar Lo L'Hashmata, and Esvei Ravino L'Mereimar, Rabbi Lezer Omer Notel Odom Kesam Shalafon of Lachtos Bo Shinov. So as we said earlier, Rabbi Eliezer allows you to use this chip of wood, this splinter, that's in front of him on the karka, and he uses it in order to take something out of that gets caught between his teeth. And the reason for this is that Kol Mashe Bershusa Shel Adam Muchan Hu Avuro V'Ena Mukta. Anything that's in his domain is not mukta. And the statement of Rabbi Eliezer seems to reflect that it says shalafanov. Elafanov means that anything that's in his chatzer is considered munach lafanov, mukhan lafanov. And the chachamim say, chachamim lo yitol ela mina evus shel behema, which in Hebrew means akara shenosnim lifnei habehemos, lechol mimeno, call it a plate, a bowl that's put in front of animals for eating purposes, shakesamim hamunachim shom lachila lebehemos muchanim l'shimush me'arv yontif. And all these splinters of wood that are in this Avus are all prepared for use on Erev Yontif, and that you're allowed to take advantage of on Yontif. That's not Muktzah. Well, also Lito Me'akisamim Hamunachim Lefanav Al Gabi Karka Kidei Lito Basa Ben Hashinayim. And according to the Chachamim, there's an Iser here of Tiltal Muktzah. And the Kash of Yimereimar is that Lechor, in this case, you know, if he's got meat stuck between his teeth, that doesn't look too pretty. It's a gnai, what we call. And yet they weren't matir to be metaltel these kisamim. So we're not going to apply the principle of Govan Kala of Brios to be matir tiltel muktza. And that's difficult according to Rav Chisda, who was matir bringing stones up to the roof for the sake of Kovod HaBrios. So Gemara answers Hachi Hashta. We can certainly differentiate between the two cases. And Hossam, there in the case of taking a Kisam that was not prepared specifically on Erev Yontif, what happened to Kovod HaBrios is Adam Kovea Mokum L'Seuda. He really was guilty in a sense. Why didn't he prepare whatever he needed for his meal on Erev Yontif, including a kisam? So therefore, there's a certain element of neglect here, of pshia. And they're not going to be metaltel, allow him to be metaltel for Kovod HaBrios in the case where there was a pshia. But hocha, as far as taking these stones up to the roof to be mekaneach b'hem, is, shall we say, v'chi adam koveh mokum v'veis hakisei. He doesn't know exactly on Erev Shabbos where he's going to have to eliminate, whether he's going to do it here, up in the roof. And even if he prepared these stones on Erev Shabbos, now he's in a situation where he wants to eliminate himself for whatever reason in a different place. So they're going to be matir him to take up to the roof those stones for the sake of Kovod HaBrios. There's no element of negligence here. There's no reason to impose any sort of a penalty upon him. So let's just go a quick review of what we saw here in the Braisa, which Meremar asked as Akasha, objecting to Rav Chisda. According to the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, the first Tana in this Braisa, you're allowed to take a splinter of wood from chips of wood that are lying on the ground before him in order to clean between his teeth. And although the chips of wood that are lying on the ground were not prepared specifically before Shabbos for use as toothpicks, Rabbi Eliezer holds that one is permitted to use them to remove these bits of meat and other food from between his teeth. However, the Chachamim prohibit it. He's not allowed to take this splinter from the wood unless it's lying inside this crib, so to speak, of an animal, and it was prepared before Shabbos as animal fodder, and he can now use it for toothpicks as well. And we see clearly from the Chachamim that even though, despite the element of Kvod HaBrios, nevertheless, we're not going to be matir tiltul muktzah. Why then are we going to allow a person to take stones up to the roof? You're going to tell me because of Kovod HaBrios. Well, Chazal were not lenient in the case of a kisam. Why should they be lenient in the case of carrying stones? And the Gemara answers that taking a splinter from wood that was not designated for a toothpick, a person should have designated it before Yontif. You know, he knew exactly where he would eat his meal. He should have put the toothpicks there on the table. And they're not going to relax the Iser of Muktzah for the sake of Kovod HaBrios when a person should have prepared this beforehand. But one doesn't necessarily designate a place for defecation, and it's not really possible to predict exactly where he will relieve himself. Different factors have to come into. There's no set location that you could always predict Oh, he should have prepared it there. It's not like a suda where you eat in one specific place. Omar Rav Huna Osur Lifanos Bistay Nir. A person should not eliminate himself in a sada Shenechreshav El Medes Lihizora. On Shabbos, he's not allowed to go and defecate in a place which was already plowed and is ready for planting. My taima, ilem mishum davsha. If you're going to tell me it's because of drisas haregel besode, in other words, he's dores, and he's going to ruin this harisha, and that's going to be damaging to his friend, as afilu b'chol nami, that's not an issue of Shabbos. The Easter here of Rav Huna is dafkan Shabbos. Ella mishum asovim, he's going to rip grass out of the ground. And what he's going to do, he's going to take stones, and there are certain grass that grew around the stone, and he's going to use that to be mekanech. He's going to be chayav mishum tlisha when he uproots the grass. So Gemara says, Omar Reish Lakish, Tzror Sha'olav Asovim Mutal Kanech Bav Shabbos. In other words, if he uses it to clean his anal area, then he's not deliberately interested in removing, in uprooting the grass, and that's called the Dover Shein Miskamin. Vatolesh Mimena, B'Shabbos. If, however, he does rip out these blades of grass intentionally on Shabbos, then he's Chayav Achatas. But we're not going to prohibit him from going out to the Sodeh in order to eliminate himself, because he might, you know, rip the grass that's around these stones, when Reish Lakish says that mutul kanechpa, we're not going to make a gzera to a dover shein miskavin that maybe he'll do this, but even if he does that, it's ain't a miskavin. Ella, so we have to go back to the drawing board and explain Rav Huna, why does he say also lifanos b'sodeh stay near B'Shabbos after it's been plowed? And the answer is Dilma Nokit Mi Eli Vishadalitatoi. We're afraid that he might take a tsrar from the top. Let's say, for example, in the field there's a little bit of a heap. So he'll take a tsrar, a stone from the top of the heap, which he needs the kanefo. And Vianichu Lemata, and he'll put it down in some sort of a hole in the field. Umechayev mishum derabba, the Omer Rabba, hoysalo guma utmama. Bibai is chayev mishum bona, besoda chayev mishum choresh. In other words, if he takes this stone and he puts it down into the hole, he's going to cover the hole. And that's called tmama, he's sosing the hole. And if he does this, he's chayav for one of two malachas, depending upon where he does this. If he's out in the field, that's called choresh. And if he's in his house, that's called meleches boneh. Boneh means whenever you flatten a surface in a house that improves the house, that's called meleches binyan. If he's out in the field and he puts this dirt inside this guma, then what happens is he's really preparing this offer for Zriah, for planting. Any improvement in the ground for the purpose of planting that enhances the capability of the ground to plant, for planting, that's called Meleches Choresh. And now when he flattens the ground, he is really preparing it for Meleches Zoreah. So let's just summarize what we learned now. Rav Huna prohibits one from relieving himself in a freshly plowed field on Shabbos. And the Gemara says it can't be because he's treading upon someone else's property, his freshly plowed furrows, then it would be prohibited even during the week. But rather, we have to be afraid of grass that's growing on the stones that are out there in the field. And if he wipes himself with such a stone, he may detach the grass. That also is problematic because Reish Lakish, in fact, permits wiping with the stone upon which grass has grown. Unless he did it, he ripped out the grass deliberately. So Gemara says, no, we have a different fear. They'll take a stone from some sort of a ridge and he'll throw it below into a stone, and he's chayav for one of two malachas, as we discussed before, gufa. Let's go back to the statement of Reish Lakish. Tzror sha'olvo asovim mutar l'kaneach pavatolish menu b'shavas chayav chatos. Omar ha'papi, shmaminom in Reish Lakish. Let's derive from Reish Lakish the following conclusion. In other words, since Reish Lakish was matir a tzrar, sha'olvo asovim kedei l'kaneach, we don't say that when he lifts up the tzrar, that itself is considered like he's tolesh da sovim sha'olav me'akarka she'yonkim mimenu. So we're not going to say, according to Reish Lakish, that when he lifts up the stone, he is cutting off the source, the sustenance of these grasses that grew on the karka, on the stone, from the karka itself. Is therefore high parpisa shari litaltule. Parpisa's otzitz nakuv she zarubo. So you have the special vase, and he plants something in the vase, and there's a hole in the bottom of the vase so that the yanika, the nourishment, could go up from the ground into the plant that he planted. He's allowed to move this on Shabbos. He's not called tolish. Why? Because it's only an otzitz. And that's the derivation from Reish Lakish. Because if Reish Lakish is not worried about the asovim, then we don't have to worry about the otzitz nakuv. Okay, now let's just learn just one more line in the Gemara, and then we'll go back and try to analyze this derivation of Rav Papi. Maskif la Rav Kahana im omru litzorech is yomru shalol litzorech. Reish Lakish was only lenient in the case of tzrar shalol basavim because he needs it for kinuach. That's covered abrios. Are we going to say therefore you're allowed to be metaltal and otzitz nakuv shalol litzorech? At least on a drabbanon level, even though it's an otzitz, it's not growing directly in the ground, there's an isa drabbanon of tolish. And we may be able to be matu an isa drabbanon litzor covered abrios, like in the case of a tzor sha'olubo asavin. But as far as an isa drabbanon of tolish, that we wouldn't be matir. So let's understand Reish Lakish in the context of the heter of Kovet Abrios. Reish Lakish is not allowing you to use the Tzor Sha'olubo Asovim when inadvertently, through Kinuach, you're going to rip out the Asovim, unless Reish Lakish has an additional variable into the equation, and that is Kovet Habrios. And we're not going to say that when he lifts up the tzrar and inadvertently he rips some of the grass out of the ground from the karka, because some of the grass is on the karka, some is under the karka. He lifts up the tzrar and inevitably, but inadvertently, he cuts the asovim, the grass, off from the ground. And although this would be an isud rabbanon, we could be matir it because of kovet abrios. So let's see the summary that we have for this last shtickel gemara. We have a statement of Reish Lakish that you're allowed to wipe with a stone that has grass growing on it. And Rav Papi wanted to derive from this that in a case of a flower pot, I called it a vase, but a flower pot would be a better translation of an utzitz, and it's got a hole in it, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. and we're not going to consider it as tolesh. You're not violating the malacha of tolesh with regard to the plant that grows inside this flower pot. Why is this not tolesh? And apparently the answer is because he's not really detaching anything in the case of an otzitz. He's only violating an isur d'rabbanan, something that resembles an isur d'oraisa of tolesh. So Rav Papi is teaching us that based on Reish Lakish's ruling, when a flower pot is lifted from the ground and is partially attached to the ground because it's an otzitz nakuv, which means that it's drawing nourishment from the ground, is therefore a puppy wants to suggest that perhaps we can derive from Reish Lakish that we're going to be allowed to do this in the case of an otzitz nakuv. Now, the Gemara points out, Rav Kahana, that there's no comparison. Reish Lakish is built on Kavod HaBrios, whereas the case of Parpisa, of an otzitz nakuv, and he wants to lift it up and move it around, those derabbanans are not being trumped by any element or consideration of Kavod HaBrios. So there's no comparison. Omar Abaye, Parpisa, again getting back to this case of a perforated flower pot, Hoil v'asa lidon, so once we're dealing with it, let's say something of halachic significance on this very same topic. Is haya, if this otzitz, this flapo, is munach agabikarka, it's lying on the ground, it's nourishing directly from the ground, then v'rima, once he lifts it up, v'nicha agabi yisedos, is mechayev mishum tolesh. Im haya munach al gabi yisedos v'nech al gabi karka chayev mishum notea. Alright, so this is a bit of a sugya. I think we'll start this fresh tomorrow. Let's just make a note of where we got up to. We're on daf pei aleph amud beis, and we're about halfway through the amud, and we're up to Omar Abaye, which is one line below Tosis Dibra Maskil Vehi Nichol.